Welcome to Feeding His Sheep Podcast, brought to you by A.T. Stewart Ministries. I'm your host, A.T. Stewart. Today is Friday, so we're having Flashback Fridays, where I reach back into the archives of sermons that I preached some 20 years ago, and we seek to see what God would say to us in His Word. So take your Bible, and let's listen to God's Word together. And join me as we start off in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 as we continue to study the Hall of Fame of the Faithful. Tonight we are going to study Gideon. And Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 32, after the writer of Hebrews has already spoken in greater detail than what he will speak now concerning some others, he speaks about the faith of some others. Verses 32, he says, "But and what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouth of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight." Now the writer of Hebrews said that time would not allow him to go into detail with each of these great men of faith. But we do not have such limitations on our time as he had, and we shall go in detail in each of these as we see why they are mentioned in this chapter 11 of the faithful few of the scriptures and what was so great about their faith. And so having mentioned Gideon, now let's go and look at his life in detail as we turn to Judges chapter 6. Now if you're visiting with us, we have provided Bibles in the pew racks and we encourage you to take one if you'd like. And we'll go to the Old Testament book of Judges. And let's look at chapter 6 as we study the faith of Gideon. Now, first, we must study Gideon the man if we're going to understand his faith. And we need to realize what was going on in Israel at this time if we're going to properly understand Gideon, the man, or his faith. At this time, Israel was in subjection to the Midianites. God had given them into the hands of the Midianites because Israel had become disobedient to God and they had become involved heavily in the idol worship of Baal. And because of this, God had turned them over to be plundered and to the captivity of the Midianites. And what would happen is the Midianites would come as they would please into the land of Israel during the harvest time, during the time that the Israelites had prepared to harvest the crops that they had worked hard to plant, to cultivate, and now they were preparing to harvest the crops, and at the time of the harvest, the Midianites would come in and they would steal the harvest. Not only that, but they would take the oxen, the cattle, and anything that was worth taking, they would take. And hence, they would leave the Israelites with absolutely nothing. And so Israel was in a very low state, spiritually, morally, physically, and every other way at this time in their history. Now let's look at Gideon, because what we're going to see about Gideon as he appears in Scripture is he was a broken man without faith. He was a broken man with no faith. I say that for three reasons. First of all, notice when he appears in Scripture what he is doing. We see in verses 11 and 12 that he is beating out wheat in a wine press, chapter 6. And then the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abizrite, as his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the wine press in order to save it from the Midianites. Now, wine press was a depressed area It would be similar to what we might consider a barbecue pit. And by the way, mentioning barbecue, don't forget to put your reservations in the pot. And it would be kind of like a barbecue pit, and it was a depressed place that they would stomp the grapes to press the juices out. Well, because he didn't want the Midianites to see him beating out the grain and come and take it, he hid in this wine press, in this depressed area, and was beating out the grain there so he could not be seen. And that's one thing that tells me he was a broken man with no faith. But there's a second thing, and that is what he says in response to what the angel of the Lord says to him in verse 13. Pick up verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." Then Gideon said to him, that is to the angel of the Lord, "O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us?" In other words, why are we in such abject poverty, and why are we having such difficulties if the Lord is with us? "And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." So he didn't have any faith that God was with him at all. He said, "I heard about how God did miracles for our fathers and he brought them out of Egypt, but I don't see any of those miracles happening now. I don't see anything going on. All I see is hard times. All I see is trouble. And you say God's with us? Where is God? I surely don't see him. If he was with us, then why would we be having all these problems?" And so Gideon thinks God has abandoned them. You know what Gideon's main problem is at this point in his life? It's the same problem that we have sometimes. He's judging everything by what he can see in the physical world, rather than judging by the spiritual realities, the spiritual truth. We have seen that faith is the conviction, the assurance of things not seen. It is a conviction that the spiritual realities, as taught in God's Word, are more real than what these eyes can see. Now Gideon looked around, and what he saw was, yes, things looked hard. Things looked difficult. It appeared that God had abandoned them according to the appearance of things, looking through the physical eyes. But what Gideon needed to do was look through the spiritual eyes and realize that what was happening to them was because God was disciplining them, because they had disobeyed him. That God had promised in Exodus 19 at Mount Sinai that he would be their God and they would be his people. And he had not abandoned them. He had simply brought this judgment upon them because of their disobedience. He was disciplining them to bring them back to him. But Gideon did not look according to God's word, but rather he looked according to what he could see. And how many times do we do the same thing? When everything seems to be going sour in our lives, maybe we've lost our job, or maybe we're having problems with our children, our problems at work, and we think, "God, you've abandoned me. You've left me." No, he's not left you if you're his, because he has promised never to forsake or leave his children. And we must not go on what we can simply see with these eyes, but we must go on the truth of God's word. So Gideon was a broken man, and a broken man without faith. He thought God had abandoned them. And there's a third reason I say he was a man without faith, a broken man. That's because Gideon knew he was a nobody. Now look in verse 15. And God tells him in verse 14 that he's going to use him to deliver Israel from Midian. And he said to him, that is, Gideon said to the angel of the Lord, which by the way, 99% of the time in the Old Testament, when you see the phrase, "the angel of the Lord," not an angel, but the angel of the Lord, it refers to the second person of the Trinity. It refers to a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus. The same one that appeared to Joshua before the battle of Jericho. The same one that appeared to Moses in the burning bush, Yahweh, I am. And anyway, Gideon says to this angel, because he doesn't know who it is at this point, "O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house. He says, now, Lord, wait a minute. You say you're going to use me to deliver Israel from Midian? How in the world can you do that? My family is just the least in the whole tribe of Manasseh, which was not known to be a great tribe in its own right. Plus, that not being enough, I'm the youngest in my family. I'm a nobody. And you're going to use me? If you've noticed in Scripture, as we have seen on several occasions, that God usually has to break a man before he will use that man. We saw that in Moses' case. Someone said God spent 40 years showing Moses who he was, and then Moses thought he was a somebody, and then God spent 40 years showing Moses he was a nobody, and in the last 40 years of his life, God showed him what he could do with a nobody. And so God broke Moses. Look at Joseph. That time he spent in the prison was a breaking time in his life. Paul was broken. You remember after his conversion, he initially tried to be an apostle to the Jews, and he bombed out altogether. And the church finally said, hey, you get out of here. You go to Tarsus. Leave us alone. You're causing more trouble than you're accomplishing any good. And so Paul went through a point of breaking in his own life. And if you look throughout the Scriptures, you'll see time and time again, people that God mightily uses, he first breaks them in order to show them that they are a nobody. And then he uses them. Well, Gideon already knew he was a nobody. He'd already been broken. And the first step in being mightily used by God is to realize that in yourself, you are nothing. It is to abandon all self-confidence in what you personally can do. That's the first step. Now, next, notice that with God, Gideon could be a great warrior. Now, Gideon knew he was a nobody, but potentially with God, he could be a great warrior. Verse 12 again. The angel of the Lord said to him, the Lord is with you, O valiant warrior. In other words, Jesus saw Gideon's potential. He didn't speak to the coward who was in the wine press beating out wheat for fear of the Midianites. He spoke to what he saw as a potentially great warrior. Why was he a great warrior? What was the potential? It was because God was with him. He said, the Lord is with you, O valiant warrior. Gideon could be a mighty warrior for God and accomplish miraculous things because God was with him. Now, isn't that amazing? Isn't that great? That this cowardly, broken man with no faith, with an inferiority complex, could become, with God's presence, a great, mighty warrior and one of the heroes of the faith. Man, I think that's tremendous. That means there's hope for all of us. Because we tend to think, man, I'm nobody. God's not going to use me. Well, that's just the opposite. When you realize you are nobody, hey, then you're in the position for God to use you. As long as you think you're a somebody, hey, God's lucky to have me. God's not going to use you. He's going to break you first. And so God comes to Gideon and says, you are a valiant warrior. He knew with his power, Gideon's potential was unlimited. Now, you and I must not only realize that we are nothing within ourselves, but we must also realize that with Christ, we have the power to do all things that it is God's will for us to do. As Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, we give up self-confidence and we take on Christ confidence. And with Christ, you can do everything that it is God's will for you to do. The only limit is this the will of God for your life? If it is, with Christ, it can be accomplished. And it was the will of God for Gideon to be a valiant warrior. And therefore, with God's presence, with him, God spoke to this man that appeared as a coward, and he spoke to his potential and called him a valiant warrior. So as you look at yourself, you may think, man, I'm nothing. But look at the way God sees you. Look at the way Christ sees you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. With him, you can be everything he wants you to be. Now, having seen Gideon the man, let's turn to Gideon's faith. First thing I want you to realize is that Gideon's faith began with a word, a promise from God. Look in verse 14, first of all. And the Lord looked at him and said, again, the angel of the Lord is the Lord, go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? And then again, look in verse 16. But the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man. Now, Gideon's faith was grounded in a promise from God. Now, we have seen over and over and over again that faith is always grounded in God's Word. The foundation of faith is the Word of God. God promises Gideon that he will defeat Midian as if Midian were only one man. That's what he means when he says you will defeat Midian as one man. Now, not only did his faith begin with the promise from God, but it was confirmed by a sign from God. Verse 17, so Gideon said to him, if now I have found favor in thy sight, then show me a sign that it is thou who speaks with me. And so he was told to bring an offering to the Lord of unleavened bread, to bring some meat, and to put it there on the rock with the broth. And Gideon did that. And the angel of the Lord reached down and touched it with his staff, and immediately fire sprang up from the rock and devoured the broth, the meat, and the unleavened bread. Now immediately Gideon knew that he was not dealing with a mere man at this point. He recognized at this point that this was the Lord God himself. And so Gideon wants a sign because he wants to make sure that he's talking to the Lord. You say, well, who else could Gideon have been talking to? Well, he could have been talking to Satan. He could have been talking to a deceiving spirit. He could have been talking to just a stranger. He didn't know at this point if this was man or not. He appeared as a man. And so he asked for confirmation, and God gives it to him. Now, God does not mind if we seek confirmation on a word that we think he has given us. When you think God has spoken a word to you about your life or about a particular situation or problem you're facing, God doesn't mind at all you wanting confirmation to make sure you have correctly understood God. Because we have those deceiving spirits that would want to lead us in the wrong direction. And so God doesn't mind that we seek confirmation. In fact, he commands us to test the spirits in Scripture. As we see in 1 John chapter 5, it says, beloved, don't believe every spirit, for every spirit is not from God. But we must test the spirits. The spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh is from God. And the other spirit is against God, the spirit of the Antichrist. And so we're commanded to test the spirits. So when you think God has said something to you, you need to test it by first the Word of God. Is it contrary to any of the teachings of God's Word? God never contradicts himself. If something you think God has spoken to you, it differs from what the Scripture teaches, and it wasn't God who spoke it. We must test it by the blood of Christ. That is, does it glorify God or does it glorify me? If it glorifies man, if it glorifies you, then it's not of God. For God seeks his glory. And then thirdly, is it in proper order? Does it follow God's order of authority? Or does it bring me in rebellion against God's established authorities? And then it's good to check with someone in authority over you. Say, hey, I believe God is saying this to me about this problem I'm having. What do you think about that? God often speaks to us through the authorities he's placed in our lives. And so it's good to check it with someone in authority over you. But God never minds that we seek confirmation. It doesn't show a lack of faith. It shows a earnestness to make sure you understand that it's God who has spoken to you. So he sought that confirmation and he got it. Now, Gideon's faith was also tested in a small matter. In verse 25. Now, the same night it came about that the Lord said to him, take your father's bull and a second bull, 7 years old, pull down the altar of Baal, which belongs to your father, and cut down the Asheroth that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this stronghold in an orderly manner. And take a second bull and offer a burnt offering with the wood of the Asherah, which you shall cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had spoken to him. And it came about, because he was too afraid of his father's household and the men of the city to do it by day, that he did it by night. Now Gideon's faith was very small at this point. Remember, he didn't have any faith before the Spirit of the Lord came to him through the angel of the Lord. And now his faith was very small, even though God had given him that promise. And so God is testing his faith in these small matters. Jesus said, "He who is faithful in the small things shall be faithful in the great things." And so he's been tested in these small matters first. And God tells him, "Now you go down to your father's house and you tear down that altar to Baal that's there." And you say, "Well, now, wasn't Gideon an Israelite? Wasn't his father an Israelite? What was he doing with the altar to Baal in his house?" Well, this shows you how far they had fallen from the Lord, and while they were in judgment at this time. Now, this was no easy act of obedience for Gideon to do. In fact, it could well cost him his life, and indeed, when the men of the city find out what has happened, they want to take his life. They say, "Where is Gideon that we might take his life for doing this?" So Gideon realized that, hey, this was no easy act of obedience. This was indeed a test of obedience. But he had to prove his faithfulness in this smaller matter before God would use him in the great thing that God had. And so he acted in obedience. He took 10 of his servants. He went at night. You say, "Oh, but doesn't that show a lack of faith?" Well, now remember, first of all, his faith was not a great faith at this point, but it took faith to put your life on the line. Plus, probably went at night also because if they had seen him doing it in the daytime, they would have stopped him. They would have prevented him from doing so. And so at night he was able to accomplish the task, even though he was afraid for his life, for he knew what they would do if they caught him. But he proved faithful in this smaller matter. Now, Gideon's faith, next, was not presumptuous. It was not presumptuous. He seeks clear confirmation from God. He wants to make sure that he correctly understood God's word, that God was going to use him to defeat the Midianites, a tremendously strong army of 135,000. He wants God's confirmation that indeed God is with him. Now again, God gladly provides his confirmation. Gideon says, "Lord, I'm going to put a fleece out. Now, if this is really you and this is really what you're going to do, when I wake up in the morning, let this fleece be wet, but the ground be completely dry all around it." And as you know the story, he got up the next day and the fleece was so wet he could wring water out of it, but the ground was completely dry. And Gideon said, "Lord, one more time. This time let the fleece be dry and the ground be wet with dew all around it." So the next morning he got up and sure enough, the fleece was completely dry and the ground was wet. Now I've heard preachers and I've heard people say Gideon shouldn't have done that, that it showed a lack of faith. But you know, God never condemns Gideon for this anywhere in Scripture. I believe it's because God does not mind us making sure that we correctly understand him, that we understand what he wants us to do, that we understand his word in order that we might walk out on his word. You see, we must be sure that we rightly understand what God is saying to us if we're going to act in faith based on his word and not confuse it with our own desires. It's easy when you really want something for you to confuse what you want with what God wants and maybe read into Scripture something God's never said in order that you might have what you really desire, especially in the area of healing. When a person is sick and they want to be healed so much, it's easy to read into Scripture and say, "Well, God's told me he's going to heal me," when God never said it. And so we must be careful to distinguish between what we want and what God desires and wills for our life. And so it is always appropriate to seek clear confirmation from God. Again, I don't suggest you put out a fleece, but by seeking counsel from those who are spiritual, by seeking the clear Word of God and putting it to the test again of the Word of God, the blood of Christ, and the order God has established, you can come to, I think, a clear confirmation that, yes, this is God speaking, and this is what God desires of me. Also, God used Gideon's faith to glorify Himself. You remember the story when Gideon gathers the men of Israel together to go against the Midianites? He has there 32,000 of the Israelites have come together. God says, this is too many people, Gideon. And when I give you the victory with this many people, the Israelites will take credit themselves. So say, if anybody's afraid, you can go home. So Gideon gave the word, and 22,000 of that 32,000 left and went home. So that left 10,000 folks. Now this is 10,000 going against 135,000. God says it's still too many. You still take credit for it. So you go and tell them to drink out of the river. And everyone that laps his water by putting it to his mouth, his hand to his mouth, keep. Anybody who kneels down to drink, send away. And there were 300 men who took the water and lapped it as a dog would lap it out of his hand. And God said, okay, 300. I'm going to use 300 men to defeat the Midianites. You see, God was going to use this faith of Gideon to bring glory to Himself. I mean, who got the glory in this situation? God received the glory because it was such a miraculous event. You see, whenever you are on God's side, you're in the majority. I don't care how many folks are on the other side, God plus one is a majority. Remember that. God plus one is a majority. We see that over and over again in Scripture. I don't care how many the enemy has, if you're on God's side, you're in the majority because God is the majority. Now, Gideon's faith was also providentially strengthened by God. Again, God recognized the smallness of Gideon's faith and God providentially strengthens it. We're in chapter 7 now of Judges. And God comes to Gideon and says to him, now, Gideon, if you still are not sure, take somebody and go down to the Midian camp. And so Gideon does this, beginning in verse 11. And you will hear what they say, God speaking, and afterward your hands will be strengthened that you may go down against the camp. So he went with Purah his servant down to the outpost of the army that was in the camp. Now the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the sons of the east were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts, and their camels were without number, as numerous as the sand of the seashore. And that was 135,000 of these enemy soldiers. And when Gideon came, behold, a man was relating a dream to his friends. See how God providentially worked it? Just as Gideon got to the outskirts of the camp, he hears this soldier giving a dream that he had to his friend. He said, behold, I had a dream, and a loaf of barley bread was tumbling into the camp of Midian. And it came to the tent and struck it so that it fell and turned it upside down so that the tent lay flat. And Gideon heard him telling this dream. And his friend said to him, this is nothing less than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. God has given Midian and all the camp into his hand. Now, Gideon was right there to hear that interpretation that the friend gave to this other soldier's dream. And it came about when Gideon heard the account of the dream and its interpretation that he bowed in worship. Man, he knew right then his faith grew in leaps and bounds because God providentially strengthened his faith as he brought him into the camp to hear that dream and the interpretation of that dream. Now, at this point, Gideon's faith becomes a daring faith. You remember we said a few weeks ago that a daring faith is a faith that goes out on a limb for God. And if God doesn't come through, you are sunk. Now Gideon put himself and 300 men in a situation that meant if God did not miraculously work, they would be killed. What is that situation? The situation is 300 men surrounding a camp of 135,000. You know what those odds are? Those odds are 300 to 135,000, which breaks down to 1 to 450. That means every one Israelite soldier would have to kill 450 of the enemy. I don't like those kind of odds, do you? Man, but that was what the odds were. Now, if God didn't miraculously work, it would be instant suicide. Here you have 300 men surrounding an enemy camp, where 450 of the enemy for every one of them. And you know what made it even more daring? Look at the weapons that they took. They took a jaw, they took a torch, and they took a trumpet. No mentions of spears, no mention of swords. Just a jar, a torch, and a trumpet. Isn't that some weapon to go against an army of 135,000? Here they are surrounding this enemy camp, spaced out around it. They have a jar with a torch inside of it, and they have a trumpet, and that's all. Now they're out on a limb, a daring faith. Human logic would say there is no way they can win. Unless God works, they're sunk. And with a daring faith, Gideon told his men, look in verse 15, last part of the verse. He returned to the camp of Israel and said, "Arise, for the Lord has given the camp of Midian into your hands." At this point, his faith became a great faith. God has given it. He will give us the victory. Now let's go out and station ourselves around the enemy camp. And lastly, his faith was a victorious faith. Verse 19. So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outskirts of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just as they had posted the watch. Now the middle watch was at 10 p.m. Now this was providential too, and I'll tell you, explain that in a moment. And they blew the trumpets and smashed the pitchers that were in their hands. And when the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers, they held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing, and cried, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." And God brought a miraculous victory. And each stood in his place around the camp. And all the army ran, crying out as they fled. And when they blew 300 trumpets, the Lord set the sword of one against another, even throughout the whole army. And the army fled as far as Beth Shittah toward Zarethah, and as far as the edge of Abel Meholah by Tabith. Now notice what happened. Providentially, God brought them to the enemy camp right as the new guard was taking their positions for the night watch. The old guard had come back to the camp. They were in the process of getting ready to go to sleep, so they were milling around, getting ready to go, taking off the armor, doing things they would need to do to get ready to go to bed. Just at that time, the trumpets blow, the pitchers crack, the torches are held up, they shout for the Lord and for Gideon. Well, the guys who were asleep were startled. They woke up. In the light only of the fires, they saw these soldiers milling around, which was the old guard, preparing to go to bed. They no doubt mistook these for enemy soldiers that had come into the camp. And so they jump up, grab their swords, and start killing each other. They get confused. They don't know who the enemy is. And the soldiers of Israel just stand around and watch as God so confused the Midianites that they killed one another. And in fact, not one of Israel's soldiers were killed. God miraculously spared them all. And all the ones that were not killed fled in mass confusion. And Gideon and his armies followed after them, chasing them down. And they had a tremendous victory that day. God plus one equals a majority. And when you're on God's side, no matter how many are against you, you are in the majority. As Paul said, if God be for us, who can be against us? Just make sure you're on God's side, standing solidly on His word, and then you need not fear man, nor beast, nor Satan. For you're in the majority, and God will come through in the victory, in His time and in His way, to His glory. So I trust that Gideon's faith will strengthen each of us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Gideon and for the faith that you gave him, that faith that is an example to each of us. of how we may have very little or no faith, but yet you work with us to implant that faith in us and to even cultivate it till it becomes a great faith, that we will be used of you to accomplish mighty things for your will. Increase our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. What number? Our hymn of response. Welcome to Feeding His Sheep podcast, brought to you by A.T. Stewart Ministries. I'm your host, A.T. Stewart. Today is Friday, so we're having Flashback Fridays, where I reach back into the archives of sermons that I preached some 20 years ago, and we seek to see what God would say to us in His Word. So take your Bible, and let's listen to God's Word together.